so much going on in the Trends Journal. And, of course, topping that, a little bit of trouble in Venezuela. What's going on, Gerald Celenta?
Well, if you go to our November Trends Journal, which you get, we had called this. We saw it coming. We called it the Triangle of Death. We saw that Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina were going after Venezuela, and with the United States behind it. And we said there'd be a coup attempt. And here we are. And just with Iraq and Libya and other places, it's not about their broccoli crop. It's about oil. And Venezuela is sitting on the world's largest oil reserves. And we heard our national security advisor, James Bolton, and it's all in our Trends Journal, the direct quotes, of how he said that they want to put in American oil companies into Venezuela, and that would be a benefit to the American people. So it's another coup attempt, and with a long history of one failure after another. Again, we could go to Iraq, take a trip to Libya. How about Syria? Isn't Yemen wonderful? Hey, how about Afghanistan? Hey, Honduras is doing great, isn't it? What about one after another? So this is going to be, if the people of America are complaining about a migrant crisis now, you haven't seen anything. Because already some 3 million people have left Venezuela in the last few years because of the economic conditions. War breaks out there, whew, it'll go regional. It won't stay within the Venezuelan borders. You'll have a refugee crisis the likes of which no one could ever imagine.
You know, the U.S. military is talking about some activity there. Do you see that escalating the situation?
Well, if we have sick people in charge, like you have Elliot Abrams, they brought him in to head this under the BS line that they're bringing democracy. This is a guy that's a convicted war criminal for the actions he took during the Iran-Contra affair. And it's, you know, he was pardoned, you know, pardoned. But he's a war criminal. And in support of the vicious groups that were slaughtering people throughout many regions of Central America. So when you look at the people that are in charge of this, Pompeo, Bolton, and Elliot Abrams being this, the head of this, you can see where it's going.
Before we move on, could you tell us a little bit more about the image of you and Ronald Reagan in the background there?
That's how that one over to the right. Yeah, I was 30 years old. I was the number two guy running a major trade association at the time. And he was our keynote speaker. And this is 2 days before he's announcing that he's running against Gerald Ford. And so I was with him for about an hour and a half. In those days, it was very different. It was in Chicago. And we convention was at McCormick Place. And I picked him up at the Chicago Hilton. It wasn't like today when you had, you know, private drivers. This is, you know, 1976. And, you know, I went up and picked him up, him and Mike Deaver. I stayed in touch with Mike Deaver afterwards. And get in the car, and got in a cab. That was it, the three of us in the back of a cab. So everything was different in those days. And I had a brunch for him and our board of directors. And so I was with him for quite a while. I learned a lot. Actually, I used to do a lot of public speaking back in the day, do trend forecasts for trade associations and businesses from American Express to Citigroup, you name it, Nestle, you know, one after another. And I learned how to do speaking from him. And he used to use index cards. It's a funny story, actually. I used to have stage fright in those days. And here we are in McCormick Place. We had like 2,000 people. All the press is there because everyone was expecting that he was going to announce it soon. I said to myself, if I could walk out to the middle of the stage, he's backstage now. If I could walk out to the middle of the stage, I'll break myself a stage fright. So I did. I walked out. And of course, everybody there knew me because I was the number two guy. And they all start applauding. I said, I'm not Ronald Reagan, but he's backstage and he'll be out any moment. And that's how I broke myself a stage fright. And when I went backstage, my boss mad at me because he was supposed to announce the CEO of our company. And the CEO was supposed to announce Reagan. And I just took all the steam out of it. But anyway, that's part. And here's another photo that's very interesting. This is the Book Depository. And that's me and John Connolly and his wife, Nellie. And of course, John Connolly is the guy that took the bullet in the back sitting in front of John F. Kennedy. And he was governor. This is their first time back. This is 1992. Their first time back since the assassination. And we're parked out in front of the Book Depository. That's the side that you see. In a limousine with Pat Cadell, a guy named John J. Hooker, may he rest in peace, and Connolly and his wife, Nellie, and another woman, Rama Fox, who was Larry King's girlfriend at the time. And Hooker got Perot on, and that's how I got Connolly wanted to meet me, because in my book Trend Tracking that I wrote in 1989, I'd forecast a new third party in the 92 elections and mentioned Ross Perot as being the maverick candidate. So that's why Connolly wanted to meet me. But anyway, it was Hooker that got Perot on Larry King, and Larry, that's how the whole thing started. So that's why his girlfriend was there at the time. But anyway, we're parked out in front of the Book Depository, and I'm sitting across from Connolly in the limousine, and he's telling the story of what happened that day. And it was quite an experience. I stayed in contact with him until February of 1993, and then he died in April.
Great story. And I've got to ask about the drum set.
Well, we have conferences, and we used to bring them over to the Mohegan over here. That's the place we're at now. So we'd have a band here, a little quartet, entertaining the people. I don't play them, but I do boogie.
Quick question on the markets. We've seen a lot of volatility, of course, in U.S. shares. What's going on there?
It's simple. It's interest rates. We're going to see, go back to September. When we called an economic 9/11, it was because the Fed chair had indicated they were going to raise rates one more time in this year, last year being 2018, and 3 to 4 more times in 2019. Then they backtracked on January 4th, and again later in the month on January, saying they were going to be patient because of the equity market losing. They were having their worst December since the Great Depression. So he made it very clear it was about the equity markets. So what we're going to see is more money being shoveled into the system. That's why you're seeing gold prices stay above 1300. And again, I've been on your show a long time. They have to break over 1385 to hit the point, the breakout point. And the breakout point is 1450. I've been saying that, but it's probably going on 6 years now. And it hasn't made that. Now we're going to see more cheap money coming in. We are forecasting that the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates this year. How many times, we don't know yet, because there's a global slowdown going on. Auto sales around the world stink, particularly out of China. They had their worst year last year, the first year they lost auto sales since the 1990s. Their GDP level is at 1990s level. You're looking at Europe. Italy's back in a recession. Euro growth this year is expected to be maybe 1.5% at best. You're seeing countries like Germany teetering on recession. So what you're going to see is more cheap money going into the global system to give the corporate and market addicted heroin freaks more monetary methadone, so that they can keep their game going and keep the bull running. And you're also going to see more quantitative easing. What that means is more cheap money flowing into the system. Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, in his own words, said they're cautious, they're being patient because of what's going on in the markets. That's their concern, not we the people. And the markets, you saw the study that came out, of all the stocks owned in the United States, the household stocks, 1% owns 50% of them. So Jerome Powell cares about that 1%, and they will do anything to keep the billionaires, and maybe even move into trillionaires before we finish our lives, because that's where the concentration of wealth is going.
Okay, Gerald Celente, you know, you're talking about the 1%, the Fed chairs. They don't pump the gas at the pumps. Their chauffeurs do this. If they did, we jokingly say here, they'd have their finger on the pulse of the folks. Give us an idea about this QE. We're in the middle of wrapping up a quantitative tightening cycle. You're talking about things, you know, they're going to be adding to their balance sheet, toxic debt. This is a big sea change event. We haven't heard this in their rhetoric yet.
No, and you won't hear it, because what are we looking at? $250 trillion worth of global debt. You're looking at China now, estimated $40 trillion of debt. The debt levels doubled since the panic of 08, more than that, more than doubled. And you look at also what's going on with Japan. They're in a recession. They're nearing a recession. They're risking recession. That's after having negative interest rates and 10-year bond yields that are negative. I mean, who would buy a negative bond yield? 10 years, you're going to get back less money than you're paying. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So the QT is over. It's QE. And you're going to, well, you've already heard from Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, saying that they were thinking of plans to re-stimulate the economy through quantitative easing. This is after dumping basically $3 trillion into it and no results. It's only enriching the rich. That's all it's about. Take a look at home sales. Look at the lousy numbers coming out. December's terrible. Looking at home sales in Southern California off like 20%. So what are they going to do? New mortgage applications? They have to lower interest rates. You cannot take a 5% 30-year mortgage. So they're going to bring them back. They're going to get them down. And we're going to see cuts going back to, we believe, as this thing goes down, you will see mortgage rates for like 2.8% before this thing collapses.
Gold is least a go-to asset, given the scenario you've given us.
That's it. You've hit it. Because that's why the central banks bought more gold last year than in a half a century. Because they know what's going on. That's a fact. They bought more gold last year than they have in a half century. They see the end is near, and that's why we're saying, look at gold prices now. And you know, I mean, the facts are there. I've been on your show a lot of years. I said that the bottom of gold last year in 2018 was $1,200 an ounce. It got to $1,185, $15 off. So we nailed it. And we said it has to break over $1,385, which it hasn't done, to go to the next level, which is to break over $1,450. You're going to see more and more people investing in gold as their currencies devalue because of all of the cheap money they're pumping into the system. The only reason the dollar is strong and the other ones are so weak is because of the crises they have in trying to stimulate their failing economies by pumping more money into it. So the yuan, the Chinese yuan, is going to be under pressure. The euro is going to be under pressure. The yen will be under pressure. The dollar will do better, but it's still not going to be worth the digital paper it's not printed on.
Okay, the People's Bank of China, the Moscow Bank, they agree with you. They're loading up. They're increasing their stockpiles on gold, the yellow metal. Why are the non-BRICS nations not getting on board? Are they just ignoring this? Do they think their reserves are high enough? Or is there something more nefarious going on?
The non-BRICS don't try to make it as popular because they want you to believe in their worthless digital currencies. So that's why they don't talk about it. And here we are. Hey, this is America. Check it out, man. Are not allowed to look into the vaults in Kentucky to see where our gold is or how much is there. You're not allowed to look at it. How dare you ask? We may have nothing there because the whole thing is a sham. Look at the value of the dollar since they created the Federal Reserve. Since 1913, it's down, what, 97%. It's backed by nothing. They will not allow we, the people, to see what's there. And even if they allowed us, who knows if it's even real if we demanded to see it.
You know, it's ironic. My late father actually guarded Fort Knox in Kentucky for a brief period during his military stint. So you seem to indicate this is a shell game. I mean, this is a three-card Monty. I mean, they don't want us to know maybe until it's much too late that it's time to prepare. Is that fair enough?
They're never going to tell us. They're going to say it's never too late. Didn't save us from depression. All you do is bail out the big guys. 78% of the American people living paycheck to paycheck. The money since 2009, the numbers are there. When 95% of it went to the 1%. According to the Tax Policy Center, it went to the 1%, got 82% of it. This isn't helping us. It's only enriching the rich. They're never going to tell us. They'll keep telling you to keep lying to us. They're pros at it. We should have no central bank. That was a major campaign issue throughout the 1800s. How dare private bankers in control of our money? You know, we just had Christmas. We're in February, not too long ago. The Prince of Peace, right?
Just a different millennia. Before we wrap up, there is a lot of material in these pages.
Yeah, I mean, there's no magazine like it in the world. And it's only, you know, $129 a year for a monthly, plus trend alerts each week, trends in the news broadcasts. You know, we keep you on top of the news and ahead of the trends. It's the only magazine where you read history before it happens. There's no other trend magazine in the world. So if you want to prepare, prevail, and prosper for the times ahead, we may want to consider going to trendsjournal.com and read history before it happens.
Can you tell us, though, the top maybe one or two themes or trends you see?
Yeah, it's anything from cryptocurrencies to aging boomers to where the cannabis trend is going. And again, we were the first major magazine coming saying this is going to be big business. And so we keep breaking it down. Where is it going? Here are the ones. So we give not only trend analysis and trend forecasts, but strategic planning considerations that people might want to take. So you name it, we talk about it, from 5G, the new waves of radio frequency radiation that's going to destroy a good part of us and the planet, to again, to talking about geopolitics, economics.
Gerald Solente, can we shift gears back to U.S. shares? I know a lot of listeners would like your thoughts on whether or not we're going to hit new highs in the S&P 500 or if we've seen the top.
No, I don't think we've seen the top. I think they're going to keep doing everything they can to keep it going for a while. So that's, and again, we said it was going to go down into correction territory when, again, it's interest rates. That's all it is. They're going to do everything they can to lower interest rates to juice the markets. The markets have peaked. They hit their highs, but they have more room to go up if they keep funneling more money into the markets. That's the beginning and the end of the story.
I've got to give you a hat tip on that, because you're the first of our pundits here in the last 6 months to call that. Frankly, we agree with you here at Goldseek. Gerald Solente, please return.
Take care. Thank you very much.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as as easy as a single mouse click.
Vault Chain
offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.